When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitchWiz.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today, we are going to talk about the Los Angeles Angels. And if you don't know what we're doing, we're going over all 30 starting pitching rotations in the major leagues. I'm recording this one in the beginning of December, and I do expect the Angels to get one more starting pitcher. They already have Tyler Anderson, and it's cool. I can talk about him in this one, and I will. But I would imagine they have one other guy to fill this out. I feel like they have five now, and they likely will want six because of Ohtani. So, first and foremost, who are the opponents that the Angels face at the beginning of the year? They are going to be facing the Oakland Athletics and then the Seattle Mariners. That's the first six games. So, three and then three, which likely means that you'll see Ohtani, Sandoval, maybe Tyler Anderson, or Reed Detmers. I don't know who that three would be. Also, who are they also going to sign? But at the very least, one and two should be Ohtani and Sandoval. And then the others would be Seattle after. Seattle might be a little bit more of a questionable play to start against. But Oakland, I'd feel very good if I had Patrick Sandoval against them, especially against lefties. And we'll talk about that in a second. And as always, make sure to rate and review this podcast. Thank you all so much for supporting everything that we do. The Plus Pitch is going to be public this year. So please consider rating and review us so that it can be more in the public eye. Okay, all right, I'm going to stop doing all that. Shohei Ohtani is the first one. You might know the guy. 166 innings pitched this year, 233 ERA, 101 with 33% K rate and a 7% walk rate. I did not expect this. After 24 starts and 130 innings in 2021, I didn't really think that he would do a lot more. And he had 166 innings. Why didn't I think a lot more? Because he hits and pitches, essentially doubles the risk for injury. He was injured in 2021, and he still made 24 starts. He didn't hit the IL, but if you remember, they gave him more rest, and they didn't really give him that much rest in 2022. I imagine this is more of a peak than it is a plateau now for Ohtani's innings, 166. So I would imagine more about 140, 150. Something along those lines. The hardest things we do in the offseason is predicting the amount of innings and starts that guys get. Now, one huge thing for Ohtani this past year was his slider. He increased its usage to nearly 40%, had a 40% CSW on it, a 72% strike rate. It's one of the best pitches of baseball, if not the best. 164 batting average allowed along the way. His four-seamer then was saved a bit and was able to be a higher velocity pitch at 97-plus as opposed to the 95 and change. I will say in 2021, Ohtani did save his fastball a little bit more to try and stay healthier, and I think he felt better in 2022, thus the velocity went up, but it was a much better pitch. He reduced its hard contact dramatically doing so, and that's really good. He threw a little bit less, had the sliders nullifying guys a little bit more. I think that the velocity's higher, and that really helped as well. All those factors came into that lowered hard contact, which is good. He also has a splitter that he gets a ton of whiffs on. It's 25% swing strike rate on it, 12% hard contact rate on it, which is really good. That said, he doesn't gain too many strikes with it. While the cutter is the strike pitch, but it does get beat up a little. It was a 233 ERA with a 101 whip. I think it's going to be worse, shocking, more at 11. But you're going to want to start Shohei Ohtani for every single start that he has. Just keep in mind also, head-to-head leagues, you're likely not to get a two-start pitcher for that week with Ohtani, right? He's probably not going to make two starts in a given week. You'll never get that, which is a little annoying. You do want to see that from a pitcher maybe, you know, once a month or so. And you're not going to get that from Ohtani, so you might get slightly fewer innings per week if you have Ohtani than you do have somebody else. So he's about an SP2 for me. I think he's going inside the top 15 starters consistently. And I don't think I want to do that, but yeah, I understand it. Patrick Sandoval, 148 innings last year, 2.91 ERA. Hey, sounding pretty good, 24% K rate. 1.34 whip and a 9.4% walk rate. So it's hard to really get behind that, right? A guy that has that high of a whip is so detrimental to your team. I don't care if the ERA is 2.91. I don't care if you're still getting strikeouts. That whip, you are really, really dragging it down. So 2022, I was hoping to see more growth with the changeup, and I didn't really get that. What we did see is growth of the slider, which is good. We essentially want him to throw fewer fastballs. His fastball is so bad. And I looked more into it. And I found that really there's a big platoon split for Sandoval, which shouldn't really surprise anybody with a good slider. But also that the sinker actually was really good against lefties. Like, he did a great job of nailing it inside corner and did a good job of, you know, low batting average, all that kind of stuff. Really, really well done against lefties. Okay, sliders and sinkers. The four-seamer is so terrible against right-handers, and the sinker isn't any better. But, I mean, it's a little bit better, but I don't think that's the solution. 410 batting average allowed from his four-seamer against right-handers, and there were a lot of batters faced with it, a lot of end results in four-seamers against right-handers. There is your problem. The changeup's supposed to be the big nullifier against right-handers, and he can't get enough strikes with about 60% strike rate. Doesn't get it down enough, floats up and away, so up and arm side, too frequently. It's an issue. So he actually tried to introduce sliders against right-handers, and Sandoval had some success against it. I mean, it was better than his four-seamer, but it's not nearly as good as it is against lefties, right? I mean, it was still above a 25% hard contact rate with that slider against right-handers because he threw in the middle of the zone because he didn't have anything else to throw in the middle of the zone. And this is the problem I see. So unless the changeup actually becomes a more consistent strike offering, I mean, look, if you can get that to 65%, and then maybe he can throw fastballs out of the zone, I don't know. It's just really bad with that four-seamer. It is such a terrible pitch. The sinker is better, but it's really bad, and I worry about it. I worry that he's going to be volatile. Maybe at the very least, he can be platooned against lefty-heavy lineups because he's really good against them. Much better against lefties. But against right-handers, oh boy, it is a struggle, and it's just a hope that the changeup can be as good as possible on a given night. So I'm not going to go after Sandoval. I don't want to buy into that. If he's a guy who can actually live down always, I'm in, because sinkers can go down, and then the whole thing is just under the zone and playing with that. That makes me feel better about it, but he doesn't do that. Changeup isn't down far enough. Far frequently enough. Not interested in that. There are some other guys to talk about, especially Reed Demers and Tyler Anderson and all of it. But before we do, we have to take a quick break.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Oh, Reed Detmers, this time last year, I don't know if I was so in on him then, but spring training for Reed Demers, I was so in because fastballs are going up at 94, 95. The curveball was beautiful and super hard to hit and getting strikes with them. And then the slider was down and in and getting whiffs, and it was there. It wasn't, though, in the beginning of the year. He had a 4.66 ERA after his first 58 frames. He actually had a good whip, 110 in that time. But the Angels could tell there was something wrong. He didn't have a slider, so he went down to the minors to try and figure it out. Found a flaw with his shoulders on delivery. He was a little too crooked with them. He strained them out. And it helped him regain his slider, pushing a 3.04 ERA in his final 71 innings when he came back. However, they came with a 1.30 whip. And why? Why is that happening? You know, he had slider whiffs finally. He had 12 in his final start against the Rangers. But the problem here is he wouldn't always get it down. And when he would get that pitch down, especially the curveball too, the curve had a very low high lock. Low lock. That is, league average for a curveball is about 65% low location. His was under 50%. That's not it. That's not right. And what I see for Reed Detmers is you actually have the blueprint of a lot of success. Reed Detmers could be throwing sliders and curveballs consistently down both lefties and righties. Doesn't matter. I don't care. You can throw the lefties, the right-handers, sliders. They work down and into them and then put in the same spot for lefties. You can put these four-seamers up. He actually has a really good high lock with those, 65%, which then return 11.5% swing strike rate. And I think that that can continue to go up if he's able to throw those sliders and curveballs down. So he's 23, will be 24 in the middle of July. He's already showcased some development. He's gone through his adversity. He's on the other side of it now. This could be a breakout season for Detmers. That said, if there are people that are drafting him at a price of inside the top 150 anticipating it, I don't want to take that gamble if I don't have to. Still, I really do like Reed Detmers. I think there's a lot of potential here. A breakout is coming at some point. Is it in 2023 or is it 2024 or later? I don't know. But there does feel that there is this inevitability for Detmers to break out. The Angels are not the best team, though, when it comes to pitching development. They aren't at the top of our list for that. But I gotta think that Detmers just get those pitches low. And he's got it. So more time on the bump will get him that consistent same rhythm. I'm excited to see it. Hopefully it is this year. Tyler Anderson is moving over to the Angels. And it was a brilliant season last year. 178 innings, 257 ERA, one whip on the dot, and just under a 20% strikeout rate with a 5% walk rate. The question is, will he have the same success on the other side of the city, moving from the Dodgers? And the Dodgers did a couple things with them that were really good. One, obviously the defense was amazing. And that's not going to be the same in Anaheim. The second is the changeup usage went up about 5-6 ticks, but the swing strike rate all the way to 21%. Really great to see. The hard contact dropped dramatically on it. I do think you're going to see some stickiness of the changeup success, but not quite the same. I mean, I think it was a peak season all around for Tyler Anderson. He hadn't had a season under a 4.3 ERA since his rookie year in 2016, okay? So the changeup usage should stay there. The swing strike rate, I think, should be not the same, but still better. It's going to get a little bit worse. His BABIP across the board is going to get worse because he doesn't have the Dodger defense. He's not going to be a 15-win guy. He's going to still have that 19%, probably a little bit lower, strikeout rate. He's a Toby at best here. The changeup and the cutter are not that great. The cutter, I should say. It's fine, but it's nothing special. And the swing strike rate on the four seamer came down about 2 to 3 ticks as well, from about like 11 plus to under 9. So yeah, I don't really want to go for this. I feel like it's too meh for your fantasy teams. I feel people might have too much nostalgia from 2021, or actually the 2022 season. Man, have I been phrasing like that? Oh no. From last year, saying that, oh, Tyler Anderson's really good, he saved my season last year. Like, I don't think that's going to happen this year. Jose Suarez is kind of interesting, though. He had a really good second half. He had a 2.81 ERA, 102 whip, and a 22% K rate, which is a 4% walk rate in that time, which is kind of nuts in 64 frames. Like Sandoval, he is a platoon arm. He's someone who is really, really good destroying lefties with that slider and sinker. Incredibly good. Four-seamer and changeup to right-handers is where there's a problem. I don't think it's a very good approach, and it's hard for me to really endorse Suarez because it's just like, hey, when he faces lefties, he will destroy them, and there's a chance on a given night that like he faces a really lefty-heavy lineup. But the volatility will still be there because he's really bad against righties. I like it more with Sandoval. I think because he has two pitches that I really think are excellent if you get them down, that is the slider and the changeup, while Suarez is really more on that on the slider, and he didn't change it to be a slider pitch. That's like he increased it massively in that second half. 121 BABIP, by the way, in those starts, in those 64 frames, 11 starts at the end of the year. 121 BABIP on the slider, which we all know is not going to be exactly right. So I think he's a good AL-only guy. 12-teamers, I think you can stay away from this one and maybe stream him for lefty-handed lineups. And lefty-heavy lineups, I should say. And then deeper leagues, 15-teamers, like your TGFBI and everything. You're okay with Suarez. It's not great, but I think it's all right. I think it's okay. There are two more here. It's Chase Silseth and Tucker Davidson. I don't really think we see much of them. I, again, anticipate the Angels getting someone else to pad this rotation. It is five right now, but I think they do want six. And Chase Silseth has an interesting splitter and throws 95-96 at times, but the fastball command is terrible. The splitter is inconsistent because, hey, it's a splitter. The slider is actually, I think, his best pitch right now. But 41% hard contact and fastballs are, yeah, no, there's not enough here. And if I want to endorse him at any point, he's got to change a lot of his stuff. Tucker Davidson had a 13.5% K rate and a 14.4% walk rate last year. Yeah, I think that's all I need to say about that one. Fastball just gets demolished. It's a good looking hook, but does not get enough strikes. And the slider, it gets down a decent amount, but doesn't do enough. And that's it. That's the Angels. So thank you all so much for supporting the podcast. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.